Ezekiel 34, where I was working in my garage the other day, working on an automobile, and I decided to put a tape in, set tape, listen to it. These tape things, we need them, they're a great help. It's the next best thing to hearing the gospel in person. And I was at that time feeling, as we often feel, downcast and depressed and discouraged and sinful and all of those things. And I listened as Brother Maurice Montgomery, as it was. I just grabbed the tape. No, Jack Shanks. Brother Jack Shanks. And I listened to him preach a message that I heard before. I was there when he preached this message years ago. Same message I've heard before, not just by him, but by others. The message of Christ. Just declaring the truth from preaching God's Word. And it was such a help to me. It blessed me so much. I just can't tell. Well, I don't need to tell some of you what a blessing it was to me. And it confirmed to me that what we need to hear, what we really are blessed by, is not something new, but the same old gospel, the same old truth, the same old story. God's sovereign mercy and grace in Christ in saving His people. That's what this story is, this story of the good pastor. You don't think, surely, that this message is about me, do you? Or my pastor or any other man for that matter? This is the good capital P, A-S-T-O-R. That's what this message is all about, or rather who. The good B. I wrote down at first a good pastor, and I scribbled it out. The good pastor, or shepherd, and good pasture. Verses 1 through 4, the Lord pronounces woe on these shepherds, these so-called shepherds. These men seem to be shepherds. The people thought they were shepherds. They held the title of shepherd or pastor. Shepherd and pastor are the exact same word. Okay? Exact same word. Pastor and shepherd. Pastor sounds like pasture, doesn't it? That's because it's a similar word. A pastor or shepherd is one who pastures or grazes or feeds. That's his principal job. That's his job. Feed the sheep in pasture. And there's one pasture. We'll see that in a minute. But these fellows, and today you got fellowettes, females doing it, seemed to be shepherds. People thought they were. They held the title. But they weren't feeding the people. They were feeding themselves. They were serving their own interests. They were serving their own glory. They were doing things in the name of God, they said. But it was really their own names that they were setting forth that people remembered. And he said in verse 3, you eat the fat, clothe yourselves, you're killing them. You're killing the people, not feeding them, you're killing them. You know, these false preachers, and I don't want to dwell too long on these, but the Lord sure did deal a lot with false prophets, didn't he? The true prophets back then had to first renounce and expose the false prophets in their day. But these false prophets, prophets and preachers today, and there are many. The woods are full of them. What they're doing is more than just error in doctrine. That's why this is so serious. It's more than just error in doctrine. They're killing people. The souls of men are at stake. It's more than just error of doctrine. That's why we speak out as we do against them. That's why the Lord's Word speaks so harshly of them. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He walked on this earth, He dealt with these Pharisees and scribes and lawyers and so forth, didn't He? And they were everywhere. Everywhere. He called a few common, ordinary, working class men from among the people, men that everyone knew, and clearly saw the Lord's hand on these men. But he faced hundreds upon hundreds of these school-trained religious men who put on good airs and a good show and talked good and had everybody fooled and dressed a certain way and so forth. And he constantly, before the people, said, you beware of these scribes, these Pharisees, these hypocrites, he said. He said, they're putting on a show. All they do is to be seen of men. So the Lord renounced them, didn't He? He exposed them clearly. And we're not being too hard or harsh when we name names and so forth. The Apostle Paul named 10 names in his epistles of evil men and seducers. And I'm sure it surprised the people when he named some of the names that he did. But he said in verse 4, they're not the disease, they haven't strengthened, sick, they have not bound up, or that which is broken, hadn't bound up, the sick, they haven't healed, brought again, the driven away, the lost, they sought the lost, but with force and with cruelty have ruled them. I thought of this thing of the disease and said something earlier about this. False prophets don't tell people that there's anything wrong with them. They prophesy smooth things. God loves you. Jesus died for you. God needs you, wants you. You're a wonderful person, and He can use you. He loves you so much. If you'll just let Him have His way. He has a wonderful plan. You know, you hear it. That's all they say. That's all they say. But the prophets of old and the apostles, they went around saying things like this. Listen to this. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there's no soundness in you. Nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. The horrible sight of it. Said things like David said. The Lord looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did understand. He said, all together, put them all together. He said, they're stinking to God. That God doesn't need anybody. Nothing good about it. The prophets never said anything good about anybody. It's all bad. Said things like this. In your flesh dwelleth no good thing. Your loins are filled with a loathsome disease. And what the prophet said about the people, he said about himself. Old Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. This planet is diseased. It's dying. Sick. Just sick. Look at it. Look at modern man. He hadn't made any progress. He's digressing. He's become an animal. Just look around you at what he's done to himself. Sick. Isn't it? And there's only one cure for this sick society and people. One cure. The balm of Gilead. The balm, you know, you don't know there's any problem. I mean, you don't know you need Christ until you realize how sick you are. How sick you are. Christ is the great physician. Programs and things like that can't heal disease, this disease. Only a person. Christ is the great healer of hearts. Christ is the Lord and Shepherd who alone must seek out His sheep. Men can't do it. Soul winners can't do it. Christ alone. You know, He denounced these shepherds who did what they did to His people. He said, "My sheep have become a prey." Verse 8, "My flock become a prey. My flock is meat to every beast of the field." They've fallen prey to every one of these beasts. And that's what these so-called preachers, these sheep butchers, that's what they are. Sheep butchers. Most in here, many, if not most, were raised in religion, weren't you? You were brought up in religion of some sort. Methodist, Southern Baptist, whatever, Catholic, whatever it may be. And you were prey to some of these fellows, weren't you? Huh? I think about these small children throughout our land that they go take buses and compass sea and land to round them up and take them to their places and indoctrinate them with their fault, with their lies, and giving these children a refuge of lies and raising up little Pharisees and build schools to make them even more Pharisee. And I think about your children, our children. Well, that's why this is so important here. Your children are going to hear in here what they will not hear anyplace else, except where the truth is preached. That's why you need to avail yourselves of every opportunity. It's your responsibility to have your children under the sound of this word every time. Our teachers devote a lot of time. Our teachers in these classes don't get paid for this. They devote a lot of time and effort, prayer and concern over our children. They're really concerned about your child's soul. Not like these other places. Huh? You've been a part of that. Many of you were a part of that. It says down in verse 4, they ruled with force and cruelty. I've sat under some of that. I was one time in a meeting, preaching in a meeting with some of these so-called Reformed fellows. They're the worst. They've got the doctrine and no savor of Christ in it. And the pastor got up and his son, his wayward son, was in the congregation for the first time in a long time. His son, and he got up after we sung the song. And everybody knew who he was talking to. But he lambasted us. Hollered, screamed, said, "You have no right to sing that if you don't know what you're singing." Just came down hard on him. I thought, that's it. Drive him away. He'll never come back. There you go. Cruelty and force. All right, that's enough about those fellows. All right, you had enough? 14 minutes of those false prophets. All right? God says, Christ says, this is Christ Himself. Verse 11, who is the Word incarnate. Thus saith the Lord God. Verse 11, behold, I will search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he's among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them. Behold, as a shepherd seeketh his sheep. You know where this is found, don't you? Where is it in the gospel that Christ speaks of being the good shepherd? Huh? John 10. Good. Go to John chapter 10 with me. Who is this talking? Who is speaking here? The Lord, His name is capitalized in several places. That's Jehovah. Is this the Lord God or is this the Lord Jesus Christ speaking? Yes. It is. He is. Here's a good passage, isn't it, Sister Jeanette, to talk to these so-called Jehovah Witnesses. Who's the shepherd here? The Lord God said He would come and dwell among His people and seek out His sheep. And who? Christ. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my shepherd. John 10, verses 11 through 14, He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He that is an hireling. See, he's the one that wrote Ezekiel 34. Says the same thing here. He's not the shepherd who's owned the sheep or not. No, he sees the wolf coming. He's working for the wolf. He sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees. And wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's an hireling. He's in it for pay. He careth not for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd, Christ said. I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ is the shepherd of His sheep, the good shepherd. We'll see how good He is in a moment. The great shepherd. There really is no other like Him. The chief shepherd. He's the one that hires the under-shepherd to take care of His flock. And He takes care of them that doesn't take care of His flock. He said, our Lord said, He giveth His life. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. Go back to Ezekiel 34. He giveth His life for the sheep. It says in verse 12, we read, has the shepherd, He says, I'm the shepherd that seeketh out His flock in the day that He is among His sheep, He said. He's among His sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ was made flesh and dwelt among us. A body, Scripture says, Thou hast given them. God had sheep chosen before the foundation of the world. Yes, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And He gave them to the Lord Jesus Christ in a covenant, in an agreement. Father owns them all, the whole world, and they're goats and they're sheep, His sheep. He chose them. He said, I'll judge between the cattle and cattle. They all look alike, but they're not alike. I got goats and I got sheep. And they're my goats, but I'm going to destroy them. But these are my sheep. I'm going to save them. And He sent a good shepherd to do the job. A great shepherd to do the job. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I know my sheep. And it says He giveth His life for the sheep. You ever thought about that in this sense? After that, He said, I lay down my life. There, He said, I give my life for the sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ devoted His life to the sheep. He lived for them. He said, I live that they might live. I am come into the world to seek that which was lost. I have given my life, made flesh, to come and seek out these lost sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world looking for His lost sheep. Gave His life. That was His life work. And I love the thought of how everything He did, and every step He took, and every gesture He made, and every word He spoke, was for the purpose of finding one of His sheep. We look at this so much, don't we? I never get tired of thinking about that. But the apostles didn't know where He was going. They did not know where He was going from one moment to the next. He did, because He had sheep. He said, "I'm come to seek and to save that which was lost." And He'd go looking for them. They weren't looking for Him. They're lost. His sheep, someone that's lost doesn't know where to look. They don't. Those that are truly lost don't even know they're lost. But He does. And He went to find them. And He found every one of them. And at the exact moment in time, He had them where He would have them. Put them where He would put them. Like old Zacchaeus, put him up a tree. Put that man up a tree on purpose. How many sycamore trees were in the land of Israel? And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I've got to go by one tree. There's a fella up it." How many wells were in Israel in that day? Well, the Lord had to go and sit on one well because there's a woman He's got a divine appointment with, one of His lost sheep. See, this is my hope not only myself, that God in His good time, in the fullness of time, had me, young prodigal, young rebel, where He would have me that day and found me. I didn't know I was lost. And that's my hope for you, your loved ones, and others, that this is where He finds them. This is how they're known. This is how He calls them out. He said, "My sheep hear My voice." He said, "I'll seek them, and I will deliver them, and I'll bring them out." Go with me to 1 Samuel 17. It said the Lord God sent the great shepherd to do this job, find His lost sheep. Their prey, their meat, they're in the hands of the enemy. Not just these false shepherds, but the great adversary. That's in whose hand. You know, our Lord spoke of Satan more than anyone else. No one spoke more of Satan than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not a figment of our imagination. He's not some fairy tale creature. That's to call Jesus Christ a liar. Well, Jesus Christ said, "I beheld Satan fall as an angel. I was there." He's a real person. Subtle and crafty, and He says there that men and women are in His captivity. Under His rule, He's called the God, small g, of this world. Well, unless a stronger than He bind Him, we're no match for Him. And He's called the Lion. Our Lord said, "Satan as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour." That's not a fairy tale. The Lord Jesus Christ said that. Well, here in 1 Samuel 17 is the story of David. When the Lord said in Ezekiel, "I'll make David my shepherd." Tammy, David had already lived and died. He lived before Ezekiel. What are you talking about then, Ezekiel? The son of David. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he's talking about. Okay? David had already come and go. His sepulcher we have this day. Peter said, "This is the great shepherd, the chief shepherd." Well, here in 1 Samuel 17, David is a young, strapping lad, young man, perhaps, I don't know how old he was, 20-some years old. And all of Israel was cowed down before this giant named Goliath. True story. This is not a fairy tale either. And there was none man enough to face this fella, and he was going to destroy and make a mockery of all Israel and the God of Israel. But God had his king waiting. David. There was no beauty in him that men should desire him, no form or comeliness. It's just a lad. He's just a kid. Oh, you just wait. And he sent him. In verse 12, he came to Saul, and Saul was afraid of David. I'm sorry, 1 Samuel, I was turning the wrong one, 17. And verse 32. David came to Saul and said, "Let no man's heart fail because of him, because of this giant. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You're not able to go. You're just a kid to go against this Philistine to fight. You're just a youth. He's a man of war from his youth." David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep." That's what I am. I'm a shepherd, he said. "And a while back, I was keeping my father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb." Both of them took one little lamb out of the flock. "And I went out after him. And I smote him. And I delivered it out of his mouth. When he arose against me, I caught him by the beard. And I smote him and I slew him. And thy servant slew the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be one of them." He's defying God. So Jesus Christ came. The son of David. You know, David, that one little lamb. Sounds like he delivered that one little lamb from such a great adversary. Is one lamb worth it? If he can't deliver one little lamb, he's not a good shepherd, is he? But our Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth in search of his sheep. Yes, his little lambs. And he said after it was all over, listen to this. The Lord Jesus Christ said to his Father, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." What's that? Find the sheep. Every one of them. Deliver them from the mouth of the lion. Purge them from their sins. And bring them all home. They're my sheep. I love them. And Christ said, "All that you've given me, I've kept. Not one lost. Not one little lamb. All kept." Now that, Lord, is my shepherd. How about you? The world, these false prophets speak of a Jesus who tried and failed, a God who wants to and can't, a Jesus who died for all but saved none. You can have that pitiful fella. The Lord is my shepherd. How about you, Brother Henry? Don't you need a shepherd like that? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's no shepherd in name only. He's the true shepherd, the chief shepherd. He finds all his lost sheep. He delivers all the Father gave him. He saves every sheep, every single one whom God gave him, whom Christ died for, shall be presented to the Father in that day, safe and sound, to the praise of the glory of this great chief shepherd. Huh? So he gave his life, searching for, seeking for the sheep. And he laid down his life. He died for the sheep. Here's the difference between David's story and the son of David's story. David spared the sheep, and he himself was spared the lamb. The Lord Jesus Christ, God spared not his own son, he said. In order to deliver us, God had to deliver him up for us all. In order for us to be accepted by God, he had to be rejected, didn't he? He had to be forsaken for us to be accepted. He had to be made sin for us that we might be made the righteous. This is substitution. He was delivered into the hands of the lion, the hands of the world, the hands of the Father. And it pleased the Father to bruise him, to kill him, because it pleased the Father to make you his people. God can't give us life unless he kills his Son. But all who believe him and come to him, all who are in Christ who died, shall never die. You see the difference? And that's to the praise of the glory of the Lamb as it had been slain. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep are scattered. But at the same time, they're gathered. He doesn't stay dead. He's smitten, wounded, afflicted, bruised. He died, but he lives. And he gathers them all unto himself. Where the carcass is, eagles are gathered. So there's the difference in these stories. Now here's the good pasture. So that's the good pastor, you see, the good shepherd. Now here's the good pasture. Look at verse 13. He says, I'll bring them out from the people. Out from. God chooses a people, elects a people out of every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue, and people under heaven. But out of. You look into this, look at this congregation, you see a people of all different walks and backgrounds and so forth. God has a people. And that great gathering someday is going to be glorious. People with a distinct heritage, yet all look alike. Like those animals, those clean animals on the ark. Huh? Well, he says, I'll bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries. And he has to bring us out of the camp, doesn't it? Out of the world into himself. Bring us out. To bring us in and gather them from the country and will bring them to their own land. It belongs to them. Home. I'm going to bring them home. Now, he's not talking about the nation Israel, although he did to show his sovereign power. But this is talking about true Israel. He said, I'll bring them, verse 13, to their own land and feed them on the mountains of Israel by the rivers. In other words, they're going to eat in a place, a high place, with a glorious view. I love these Blue Ridge Mountains. I love to hike up them like Peaks of Otter. Told you that story many times. But the view from that mountain, Sharp Top or Eagle's Top, is magnificent. You can see afar off. Well, God brings his people and sets them on Mount Zion, the church of the living God, where they can see afar off. Look forward to. They see what's coming, Nancy. And it's a beautiful beauty. Not something to dread, but something to look forward to. A high mountain, and it's beside the rivers. Verse 13. Beside the rivers. Water of life. Verse 14, he says, I'll feed them in a good pasture. A good pasture. A good pasture is green pasture. Tell me what sheep food. What is sheep food? Sheep eat one thing. Sheep eat one thing. That's right. That's all you need to sustain sheep is grass. Grass. Well, our Lord said, I will make them to lie down in green pastures, grass. His Word, God's Word. They need one thing. And this is how you know sheep from goats. I ask you, what is it you want to hear when you come here? What is it you need to hear when you come here? What is it that feeds your soul? What is it that meets your need? What is it that really satisfies you and nothing else will? The Word of God. This is how you know the difference between sheep and goats. Goats need all sorts of... They can eat, I think, 10 cans. That's the way they show it in the cartoons. Sheep won't eat that. They won't fall for that stuff. They put goats on the side of a hill full of briars and brambles and all that so they'll clear it off, don't they? Huh? Devour the land. Sheep want one thing and one thing only. And God's people want one thing. This is how you know them. Goats you have to keep entertained. Goats you have to provide all sorts of different things for them to devour and keep them interested, not sheep. This is how you know. That's a good sign for you. If this is all you need, if there's one thing needful for you, if you know that your children need one thing, what you need? Sheep, food, grass. Verse 15, I'm going to quit. Verse 15, he says, I will feed my flock. It'll be verse 14, a fat pasture. They'll feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. Christ himself, he said, my sheep hear my voice. I will feed my flock. He said, I will give you pastors after my own heart. I'm a good shepherd. I feed my flock, and that's what my pastors do. That's all they do. Feed them. Peter, do you love me? Yea, Lord. Feed my lambs. Feed them. That's the requirement. That's no lofty position, is it? That's not something to be held in such high esteem for. A cattle feeder? A sheep feeder? Oh, no. And I've told you so many times, I'm just a short order cook. And I'm eating the same food, enjoying it immensely, and just can't wait for you to eat it. I didn't make it. I didn't create it. I'm just serving it. And so the Lord said, I will. And I love the thought, oh my. This is why we call upon the Lord. Lord, you said your sheep would hear your voice. This is this preacher's hope. This is his preacher's confidence. Now, I'll get up here with this book, this word, which God Almighty said will not return void. He said, I have a sheep. I'll bring them to hear it, sit them down, and in the day of my good pleasure, you'll preach the same old, and I in my time will pierce their heart. I will bring them home. You can't do it. But I can and I must. And I will, he said. That's this preacher's hope. My dad talked to this young prodigal for years. But God, one day in his mercy, unbeknownst to this fella, brought me there and spoke me. Shook me. Bless God Almighty. With this right here, and I thought I was the only one sitting there. He's talking to me. Yeah, he is talking to you. Who's the he? Jesus Christ. He can take the most obstinate, hard-hearted, the oldest, 55, 15, 25, 75. Ask Virgie Jones. Ask Abraham. You'll never convince me of nothing, preacher. No, I won't. But if the preacher does, if the Lord Jesus, and you better hope he does. And that's why we pray to him. And that's why we don't use all this stuff and gimmicks to try to trick people into. People aren't tricked into heaven. They aren't convinced into heaven. They hear from Christ. And he said, my sheep hear my voice. Get up, Ezekiel, and preach to these dry bones. That's foolishness. That's what I use. Say, hear the word of the Lord, you dry, dead bone. Preach the truth and stand back and walk. Glory be to God. And he says in closing, I will, verse 15, I will cause them to lie down. They'll eat so much and get so full in this fat pasture that they just fall over and lie down and just sleep. empty. It's a good pasture. That's a good pasture. It's so green that you eat so much and get so fat. This, you want to be fat spiritually. And fat things whine on the leaf. I've told you this story so many times. It's the best, the only one I know, really. Old Molly, that big old horse that I had. We tried our best to have the pastures fertilized and lime and all that for them so it'd be green. Green pastures. I was a pretty good shepherd. Pretty good. Too good, actually, Kelly. None of them had to work for a living. None of them did a thing. That's a good picture, though, isn't it? That's a good type. But anyway, Molly, she got pretty fat on those pastures. And every now and then, you know, horses don't like to lie down. You know that? They're creatures of prey. They got to be standing up so they can take off running. They don't like to lie down. They feel very insecure when they're lying down. You know that? But Molly and the rest of them, they would eat to their heart's content until finally they just lie down in the sun in those green grass pastures. And I'd look out every now and then, Molly would be laying there still eating. And one time, well, several times, I'd go out there. She was as tall lying down as she was standing up. I'd go out there, and now horses, they don't like for you to approach them when they're lying down. They're creatures of flight, prey. You know, I'd walk out there. She was so at ease around me, so trusted me. Did not, you know, fear that I was going to do it. All I've ever done is feed her. And I'd go out there every now and then, and I'd just lay on the old Molly. We both lay there. That's a lot of fun. Try it if you haven't done it. They talk about smelling like a horse. I think they smell good. But she was, the point is, she's fat in a good pasture, content, not afraid. She had a good shepherd watching over her. She could just lie down and go to sleep, not fear anything or anyone. And the rest of this chapter, read it yourself. He said, I'll make you lie down in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. He said, I'll prepare them a table in the midst of their end. Nothing and nobody's going to make them afraid. Nothing anybody says, what happens in the world, he won't make them afraid. Why? The shepherd's watching over us. The shepherd's watching over us. We don't need to fear anything. The Lord is running this place. The devil's in his hands. What need do I? What need I fear? Huh? All right. Brother Gary, you come with me.
Let's turn to hymn number 293, Stand Together. We're going to sing this to the tune of Oh for a Thousand Tongues. We'll sing the